that Christ may settle down and be at home in your hearts. Let me give you another thought along the same line, and once again, you need not turn to it. Listen to this verse. Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. The word abode there, make our abode with him, is the same word that is found in John chapter 14, verse 2, when our Lord says, I go and prepare a place for you. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go and prepare a place for you. It's the same word. Now listen carefully and don't miss this. You'll get the message, the background, and the foundation for the message. Jesus is saying here, I'm going to go and prepare a place for you where you can live in my place one of these days. Now, are you listening? Now, he said, you prepare a place for me where I can live. Same word, abode and mansion, same word. Now, he said, I'm going to go to heaven, prepare a place for you. I mean, a place you'll enjoy, a place where you'll feel at home, a place where you can settle down, a place where you won't feel unnatural, a place where you won't feel strained. I'm going to go prepare an ideal, perfect situation for you where someday you can come and live in the place that I have prepared for you. Now he said, until that day, I want you to prepare a place like that where I can come and live with you. So from now until Jesus comes, or until we go to heaven, from now until then, Jesus lives in a place where we prepare for him, our hearts, if you please. And someday we shall go and live in a place he's prepared for us. And he's saying, I want you to prepare your place to be as comfortable for me as I am preparing a place for your comfort when you go to heaven. Did you know that's one of the sweetest things about the Christian life? Either way, we're together. If he lives in our house or we live in his house, we're together. And that makes death a lot less fearsome. If he lives with us now, it'll not be such a change when we live in his house later. So if we get to know him and have a nice place for him, and his abode with us is a place where he can settle down and feel at home, then you will feel more at home when you get to be with him. Now, he wants to come in your house. Now, I'm not talking tonight. Sure, he wants to come in your house. He wants you to behave yourself in your house. He wants you to have a good spirit in your house. He wants you to be nice and courteous in your own house. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about your spiritual house down in here, your heart. He's talking about your heart. Jesus wants to come. He does live in your heart. He wants to feel at home while he's there. He wants to settle down and feel at home as he abides in your heart. In Revelation 3:20, he says, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open, I will come in and sup with him. I hear my voice and open, I will come in and sup with him, and he with me. Now as a boy, I received him into my house. Now I'm likening my heart tonight, or God is. He's likening our hearts to a spiritual house. And he said, I want to come in. Now when I was a boy, I received Jesus as my Savior. He came into my spiritual house to live. However, that doesn't mean he was comfortable immediately. People have said, a fellow said to me last night, he said, you know, when I first came to First Baptist, I didn't like you at all. You know, see, like everybody says that. Do you know I'm getting sort of an inferiority complex about the first impression I make? But to know me is to love me. And he said, I like you now. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands. How many didn't like me the first time you came? I'm not much, but I'm all yours, you know. When Jesus comes in, it's not all prepared yet. One day you felt convicted. One day the Spirit of God knocked at the door of your heart. You looked up and realized you were a sinner and you needed to be saved and that you'd go to hell if you didn't get saved. You received Jesus Christ by faith into your heart. He's there. But oh, what a house. What a house. You didn't know you're supposed to quit your drinking. You didn't know you're supposed to quit your cussing. You didn't know you're supposed to quit your smoking. You didn't know, girls, over here, you didn't know you're supposed to quit your talking in church. Young lady, look at me in the... That's it, you. And you didn't know you're supposed to quit your talking in church. And it's not funny. It's dead serious. And if you don't cry, you won't be laughing very long. I'm saying you didn't know that. You didn't know you're supposed to quit your meanness. You didn't know all the things you had to quit. Jesus didn't feel at home then when he first came in. Now he says, look, I'm here. I want you to make my place where a place where I can settle down and feel like I'm at home. I want to feel at home while I'm there. Now may I just tell you sort of a personal testimony. There came a day in my life, and I don't mean I'm not sanctified. God knows I'm not. I was preaching for the Nazarenes one time in Carthage, Missouri, and a fellow got up and he said, folks, Dr. Howell's a Baptist, but don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. He's a Baptist, but we felt like he had something for us. And I know you say, but we believe in sanctification. Baptists don't. He said, Dr. Howell's is really sanctified and doesn't know it. And I got up and said, thank you, my brother. You're secure and don't know it. And I make no pretense at being sanctified. I can say with Paul, except more truthfully than Paul could, I count not myself to have apprehended. But I can tell you some things that have happened to me that I think maybe ought to happen to all of us. In this respect, I can say with Paul, I wish that you were even as I am in this respect. There came a time in my life where I invited Jesus to come in and feed at home in the rooms of my house. But my heart is divided into rooms. Now, in that house in my heart where Jesus lives and where he wants to be comfortable, one at a time, I came to the place in my life where I invited him in. Here's what I'm getting at. I don't want to do anything that I couldn't say, Jesus, come and do with me. That's exactly what he's talking about. He's saying, look, did you ever go to somebody's house and you couldn't do everything they did? Let's suppose you're at a party somewhere and you don't know what they're going to do and you play Ring Around the Rosie, Pocket Full of Posy, and Annie Over, And what are some other games played as a kid? Drop the handkerchief and all the other games, you know. And then somebody says, "Let's shoot some craps." Do you know what that is? That's rolling dice. Don't look so sanctified, you sinners. Most of you folks grew up at Las Vegas. And then you say, well, let's play Ring Around Rosie again. let's shoot some dice. Let's gamble. Hey, I got a few dollars on this. Wait a minute. And finally you had to say, I can't do it. And so you sit over in the corner somewhere. You don't feel at home. You wish you weren't there. And that's what the Lord has to do in many of our lives. So many things in our lives that shouldn't be there. I want to share with you. I recall one day I invited Jesus into my music room. Music room? Jack Hiles? Music room? Yes, this may come as a great shock to you, but I dearly love music. Dearly love music. I mean, at some time or other in my life, I've loved about every kind of music there is except rock music. I never could like that junk. I'll tell you honestly, that gives me... the shingles. I tell you, it tears my insides up. And how anybody could like that garbage in the first place, it's sinful. But even if it weren't sinful, it's as dumb as can be. It's just dumb. I mean, honestly, that the folks that do that stuff wear their clothes out from the inside. It's dumb. It's just dumb. But I'll tell you what. I love music. Music can tear me up, honestly. I hate to say this, but I used to love cowboy western. Now, not this garbage that's on WJJD now. And not this modern cowboy western that's nothing more than a rock with a cowboy hat on. I'm talking, and by the way, you ought not listen to the garbage either. Amen. Well, you say, I like it. Well, why don't you just start liking Amazing Grace? They say, it's in my blood. It's in mine, too. But I got a blood transfusion one time. You see? And I invited Jesus into my music room. When I was a kid, I used to like... on the Wabash Cannonball. Remember that? Yeah, you did, too, boy. You got... I mean, you still got hayseed and what hair you got. Someday, sweetheart, you'll come back longing. For bygone days when I was true, but you find me gone with one who loves me. Write me, sweetheart, I'm still in love with you. thank you. Next time I do that, I plan to sell tickets for it. But those things. Now I used to love those things. Now, I came from Texas, boy, where we had the country and Western music and Roy Acuff. Man, we thought Metsi Vatsi ought to learn from Roy Acuff. Whoever Metsi Vatsi is. Roy Acuff and Ernest Tubb to me was, you talk about opera, boy. Now that's real opera. And I loved that kind of stuff. I like love songs, honestly. This may come as a shock to some of you kids, as old and as antiquated as I am. But some of you older folks know this is true, middle-aged folks know. I love songs like Stardust. 20th Century Drawing Room, and what's the other one I like so well? In the Meadow We'll Build a Snowman, pretend that he is Parson Brown. You will say, are you married? We'll say, no, man, but you can do the job while you're in town. Later on, we'll conspire. I like, you didn't know I knew all that stuff, did you? Huh? Yeah, I like it. Sure I do. You know, a little lady came to the office last night, and she said, I was so scared when I came in here. But she said, you know, you're nearly human. Yeah, I'm afraid I'm too human. There's no difference in any of us from the rest of us. No, I have the same kind of foot. I like to pat my foot, you know. And I like music. This may come as a shock to you, too. I like the classics. I listen every day to classical music. You say you like the classics? Well, I've heard you get up and say you wouldn't have Bach played on your organ here. I don't like the classics in church any more than we have the Super Bowl in this auditorium. Well, I still like football. No, I love the classics. I listen to classical music every day of my life. I love it. I love anthems. You say, Brother Hiles, I never thought of you. No, we won't have any anthems here in our church because I like good old heartwarming gospel numbers in church. Amen. But I like to get alone somewhere with a record player sometime and play an anthem. I like the Messiah. I love it. Every Christmas I listen to it. I like that part, the get straight. I like that stuff. Pretty. I'm always wondering if the fellow's going to have a heart attack on the third bar or the fourth bar when he sings us that. But I like it. I like it. You said, Brother Hiles, you mean you tell me that at one time or another you've liked classical music and you've liked Roy Acuff and Ernest Tubbs? Yeah, yeah. I like old Susanna. Oh, won't you come for me? Come from Alabama with a banjo on my knee. Rain's so hard the day I left. The weather, it was dry. The sun so hot, it froze to death. Susanna, don't you cry. Write me a letter, send it by mail, send it in care of the Birmingham jail. Huh? Don't look so pious. You've been there. You've been there. Sure. That's good stuff, ain't it? Huh? Amen? You've been there. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying that one day, I came to a place in my life where I had to say, Jesus, now all the music I sing or listen to is going to have to be the kind of music that will make you feel at home. Don't you see what I'm saying? Wouldn't that be a wonderful, wonderful test as to what music you listen to? I said, Jesus, come into my music room. You see, He's in my heart, but Ephesians 3:17 says that He may settle down and feel at home. Does He feel at home in your music room tonight? Huh? I decided one day, all my taste aside, I'm not going to listen to Roy Acuff sing the Wabash Cannonball. I'm not going to listen to Someday, Sweetheart, You'll Come Back Longing for Bygone Days When I Was True. I just now, you say, what's wrong with that? I just want to listen to music that I could say, Jesus. If Jesus came to my house or to my office or to my church or anywhere I am, I want to be able to say, Jesus, sing along with me on that. Huh? Sing along with me, Jesus. Suppose that what you play at your house, what you play on your radio, what you play on your television, all of a sudden a knock came on the door And you went to the door and you said, hey, turn that thing off. It's Jesus. Well, you say, well, I wouldn't do that. Well, how come you turn it off when I come up then? Huh? Huh? Detour. There's the aisles. Amazing. It's sort of like that little boy came in one time, you know, and he didn't know the preacher was there. He said, Mama, I grabbed that frog, and I threw him up against a brick wall. I got him by one leg, and round and round and round and round. I hurled him, and I threw him up against the wall, and spouted him against the wall, and blood went everywhere. Looked over and saw the preacher, and said, then the Lord took him home. How come if you wouldn't be ashamed if Jesus came in, you're ashamed when I come in? Huh? Don't you think it'd be a wonderful thing tonight for you to say, I mean, 6-year-old Christians and 16-year-old Christians and 60-year-old Christians and 100-year-old Christians, I mean every age Christian, why don't you say, Jesus, come into my music room tonight? And I'm going to have the kind of music, Jesus, in my home, on my radio, on my record player. I'm going to have the kind of music in my life. I'll never be singing music or listening to any kind of music at all that I wouldn't be happy for Jesus to hear. I want you to feed at home. I was up in a certain city in Illinois, Rockford, Illinois, preaching. I've told you about this. Mayor of Rockford was there, great crowd of people, I guess over 75 churches of pastors and people representing a big Sunday school convention. And they said, now we're going to have a group of singers from a certain Christian, they said, college in Chicago. And here came out a little old gal that didn't have a skirt on, just a long blouse, and it wasn't very long. I prayed she wouldn't bend over. Good night. If she'd have had to tie a shoe, it'd have been horrible. In fact, it's horrible anyhow. And here came out a wire-haired terrier fella. And he had to pull his hair back to see where he was going. And one of them had a bass fiddle. And I'm not against bass fiddles if you know how to play them. But boom, 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 boom. And they began to do like that. And the gal began to look like she was being bitten by ants. And the fellas. And I'll tell you what. Now I'll be honest with you. It gets inside me. I mean, it's like I mentioned this morning. It's like a shovel scraping on concrete. And I stood there, and they were singing. I sat there, while they were singing, and I turned to the music director, and I said, "Fellow, look, I don't mean to be unkind, but I'm about to die." He said, "That's pretty, ain't it? Isn't it?" I said, "I don't have an ear to hear." I said, "I'm about to die, and I don't mean to be unkind." But I said, honestly, there's something inside me that's about to go tilt. And I said, look, would you please do one thing for me? After they get through, would you sing, have the people sing, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound That Saved a Wretch Like Me? I didn't feel at home. And I don't want Jesus to feel that way around me. I want to say, Jesus, come into my music room, look at my records, listen to my radio, watch my television set, hear what I sing, hear what I listen to, hear my music. Come into my... And that's what the Bible means when it says that Jesus may come in and have his abode and settle down and feed at home. And if Jesus does not feel at home, if you're singing, you've got the wrong kind of music. Amen. There's a second room into which I invited him, and that was my library. In my heart, in the abode, in this place I'm preparing for Jesus, there came a day when I invited him into my library. I decided to say, come in, Jesus. I do not want to be reading of any kind of book that I couldn't say, Jesus, want to read a chapter of this? Amen. I wouldn't want to have a magazine in my home. I couldn't say, Lord Jesus, read that. Did you know what? I am on airplanes a lot. Some of the rest of these fellows are too. I could read any kind of magazine I want to read. You'd never know it. Every Monday night, every Tuesday night of all this year, unless there's some kind of a change in schedule, I'll be in a motel room somewhere in this country by myself, and I can watch any television program I want to watch, and nobody will know it. You wouldn't know it. But I decided one day that I wasn't going to watch anything on television that I couldn't let Jesus watch with me if he walked in. That takes care of love American style. You dirty-minded, sex-crazed heathen that watch that garbage, you ought to hit the mourner's bench and ask God to forgive you, and you ought not to be laughing, you ought to be crying on your face. A dirty, rotten, filthy, sex-crazed nation of ours, and these dirty programs such as, what's this colored fellow that's on television? I'm not trying to catch you now, and I won't make fun of you. Flip Wilson, he's done Flip. And that kind of filthy garbage that tells dirty, shady stuff. And if Jesus, you know it's true. Jesus walked in, you'd turn that garbage off and you know it. Well, he lives where you live. He lives in here. Why don't you say, Jesus, my library. Pictures on the walls, the magazines in the rack, the books in the shelf, the programs on the radio and the programs on television. I'm going to let you come in. And I'm going to prepare. I want you to feed at home, my library. I'll be honest with you. I don't have anything. I remember when I preached the sermon on what's behind the sex education program in our public school system? I had uncovered some things about the Sexology magazine, and I needed a Sexology magazine. Had to have one. Well, I wasn't about to go down to one of these dirty places and buy a Sexology magazine, so I sent my secretary. Sandy Plopper, my secretary then, she said, Preacher, she said, look, when I came to work for you, I said, I'll do anything you tell me to do. I'll be obedient, I'll be faithful, and I'll be loyal. But I'm not going to go down and buy a Sexology magazine. I said, yes, you are. And she disguised herself in some manner and went down and brought it back. But I used it for a sermon. But I didn't throw it away. I stuck it in my library, in the study. And one day a preacher's in there and he said, do you have a certain book? And I said, I'll check and see. And I was thumbing through there and there was that Sexology magazine. On the cover had a female that couldn't afford any clothes. And much, I mean, she had a little bit on. But she had a lot more out than she had in, I'll tell you for sure. And I was so embarrassed. Now, do you know a lot of you folks are that way right now? Huh? You got any magazines at home you couldn't say, Jesus, you can read this. He thumbed through your bookshelf. Would you have to say, Jesus, I'm sorry about that. Huh? And so I came to the time in my life where I said, Jesus, you can come in my library and I'll not read anything. I couldn't say, here, Jesus, you read it. And that's why that we aim to keep from the Hammond Baptist school system all the books that have cursing and dirty vulgar language in them. Well, you say you just can't find any textbooks, and then and all the textbooks have cut. Okay, we'll just use this for a textbook for every course. Well, you say that's not cultural. I didn't start that school to be cultural. I started that school to teach our kids decency and honor and respect, and also give them old-fashioned Bible culture. Amen. And the heathen kind of dirty language in the book. We're not going to have it. We're just not going to have it. We've had a few teachers who came to our school and said, you're not even credited. But if you've got to put that kind of dirty, filthy, rotten garbage on the shelf, brother, forget accreditation. Just forget it. I'm simply saying, I want the library at Hammond Baptist High School and Hiles Anderson College and in my house and in my office and in my life. And I want what I read to be the kind of literature to where if Jesus walked in while I was reading any of it, I could say, Jesus, we'll read this. We'll read this. And he'd feel perfectly at home. There's a third place in my spiritual house where I've invited the Lord, and that's my kitchen. You won't like this part, and I'll just sort of, especially you ladies that live in outer darkness all the time, you won't like this part. But I came to a place in my life where I invited Jesus into my spiritual kitchen. What do you mean by that? I told him I wouldn't eat anything that wasn't good for me. I told him I wouldn't drink anything that wasn't good for me. I told him I'd try to live, but 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. And I said, Jesus, come on into my kitchen now. Not just, he's in the living room, in the bedrooms, in the main rooms, but I mean, invite Jesus in the whole house where he'll feed at home. You say, Brother House, Jesus came to my house and I was serving pork chops. You think he'd eat it? No, he'd do what he did to pork before. He'd throw it in the river like he did all those hams that came out of that. Listen, Don't you think if our Lord... off the subject. Don't you think if he'd like pork, he'd have tackled all those hogs and not let them go in the river? Huh? I'll bet you the spirit of Mr. Hormel was weeping in the other land. But I'm simply saying I came to the place in my life. And by the way, a lot of you folks ought to be careful what you eat. You human blimps floating around here. Did you know Mr. Folt's architect told me that an average size person, children and all, 16 inches a person is what you're supposed to have in an auditorium, 16 per person. Did you know that he said the average adult is supposed to fill up 18 inches a pew? Do you know some of you 40 inchers ought to pay double tithe? You liked that, didn't you? You like that? I always love to get it down where you can understand it and enjoy it. And so one day I said, now, this is a very serious matter to me. I said, Jesus, you can come in my kitchen. I want you to feed at home. I want to be able to say, Jesus, whatever I'm eating, here you can have a bite of it. And I want Jesus to take it. Whatever I'm singing in my music room, Jesus, join along. Let's sing together. Or whatever I'm reading, Jesus, let me read this to you. Let me read this to you, Jesus. I want you to read that. Read that. I think you'll enjoy it. I invited him into something else. I invited Jesus into my recreation room. Now, let me tell you, right here was the hardest place I ever had to invite my Lord. I love sports. I like to play. Really. I like the Indian wrestle. Look here, come here. Do you ever do that? Get up here. I like to do that. Look at that. And I like to do that. Look, now, I'm pastor of this church, and your job is to stay correct. And, right. And I like, I could do that all the time. Honestly, I could. I love to get a piece of paper, put a bunch of dots all over it, and see who can get the squares all filled in, put your initial inside the square. I like to play tic-tac-toe. I don't like to lose. I'm the kind of guy that says, if I lose, we play 2 out of 3. If I lose again, play 3 out of 5. I've gone up to 6,000 out of 13,000 before. I love to play. I love to have fun. Honestly, I mean that. I love to enjoy life. I love sports. I'd love to go. One year, I went to 37 football games. One year. 37 football games. I went to 13 college games 1 year. 19, I think it was, high school games and several junior high games 1 year. Went to 37. I love sports. I love baseball. I love to have a good time. I love golf. Honestly, it doesn't love me, but I love it. I don't play golf because they don't treat me right. They won't mow the grass where I play. They mow the grass where everybody else plays. But they won't mow the grass where I play. But I love golf. I love to have fun. I enjoy life. Nobody ever comes to this church who wonders if I enjoy life or if I have fun. Nobody ever comes to me and says, he's so serious. Nobody ever leaves and, I don't like that church. I don't like that church. He's so serious. No, many times they go and say, I don't believe in cutting up that much in church. And if I was in your shape, I wouldn't either. But I'm not in your shape, thank God. Amen. And I enjoy life. I'd love to play golf. Honestly, the staff gave me a set of golf clubs 5 or 6 years ago, and I've used them one time. They weren't any good. They hit the ball crooked. They sliced it out that way. and so forth. They gave me a bunch of a dozen new golf balls, but they wouldn't float on top of water and so forth. But I love it. Let me tell you something. Hardest thing I ever did in my life, I guess, was to invite Jesus to my recreation room. My recreation room. I had to come to the place where I said, Jesus, I'm not going to play a lot. I'd like to, but I'm not going to play a lot. In fact, I'll tell you what I'm going to play, Jesus. I'm going to play when I feel like I've just got to play. I'm going to play when I feel like that I'd be a better preacher if I'd play some. As long as I'm not ever going to play because I want to play. I'm not ever going to have recreation because I want to have recreation. Jesus, I'm going to have it when I feel like I've got to have it to be a better preacher for you. And I invited him into my recreation room. That meant for me not many ball games, though I love them. That meant for me not playing golf, though I love to play golf. That meant for me that I bowled twice in the last 6 years. Twice in the last 6 years. I hadn't bowled in 5 years. I was out in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And the load was heavy and everything was sort of the machinery. We needed some oil in here. And the pastor said, let's go bowl a game after church one night. And I said, look, Dr. House, please, I want to bowl a game with you. And I said, okay, I feel like I need it. I let myself go bowling. Picked up the ball, bowled a 228. One game, 228. I said, thank you, Jesus. And now, I'm not a great bowler except Jesus. He knows I go to have a good time. If I bowled a 33, I wouldn't enjoy it. And my problem is I get my golf score and the bowling score all mixed up. But I had to say, Jesus, I'll only play when I think I ought to play. I'm not going to play because I want to play. I'm not going to play because my appetite says play. Jesus, you come into my rec room. And I, by the way, I'm not going to play anything. I wouldn't want you to play with me. Nothing. People say I'm sort of a screwball. I don't have any fun. That's all I have is fun. You see? But Brother Howells, is it wrong? No, it's not wrong. I'm not against it. I'm not against bowling. Not against playing golf. I'm not against a lot of playing around. I'm not opposed to it. I'm not against baseball. I love it. I'm not against football. I'm against the Bears. But I'm not against ordinary football. But I believe in having fun. I want you to have a lot of fun. But one day I said, Jesus, you can come in my recreation room. And I'm not going to do anything unless first it's something you could do with me, and second, I'm not going to do it because I want to do it. I'm going to do it because I think I have to do it, maybe to get a little tension released or something. But Jesus, I want you to come in my recreation room. I know one thing. I know far too many people play far too much. We've taken this thing about come ye apart for a while and rest a while. We've taken that thing way too far out. I was reading the other day about, I told you about George Allen, the football coach. I read, somebody gave me a little quote. Said George Allen said, I believe in leisure. I believe in leisure. He said, I believe a person needs leisure every day. And I think a person needs sleep every day. So he said, I get my leisure and sleep at the same time between midnight and 6 o'clock in the morning. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong to play, but I'm saying most Christians play too much. I'm saying that if you're going to amount to something for God and be all God wants you to be, you got to say, Jesus, come into my music room. Come into my library. Come into my kitchen. Come into my recreation room. And there was a time in my life when I said, Jesus, come into my den. Into my den. That little place where nobody else goes but me. The place where envy creeps up. The place where jealousy is found. The place where retaliation is. The place where vindication is. The place where revenge is. The place where hurt feelings. The place where critical nature lives. That little den. That place where it's so often so dirty. You know what a den is? A den's what gets everything else. Living room's clean, kitchen's clean, bedroom's clean. The den's a mess. The den's where you really live. Every person in this room tonight has a den. It's called in Ezekiel chapter 8, the chamber of your imagery. That secret place nobody else goes. You know, there's a place where nobody goes but me. There's a place that nobody goes but you. Brother Boardway, there's a place, where you, a room in your house I never see. And Mabel never sees it. And Brother Fisk never sees it. And your mother and dad never see it. And your children never see it. And I never see it. And nobody ever sees it. You go there. You have the only key to that room. And when you go to that room, Brother Boardway, and you unlock it, you always look this way and look this way and be sure nobody's looking. And then you get the key to the door and you walk in the room and you close the door and lock it behind you. Nobody's ever been there. That's where your feelings really are. That's where you hate, but you don't want anybody to know you hate. That's where you envy and covet, but you don't want anybody to know you envy and covet. That's where jealousy lurks, but you want anybody to know it's there. I learned years ago that the great secret to God's work is keeping that little old secret place, that den, clean. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You know, I believe that's one reason why God blesses this little preacher. I'm not a great, you know, great Shakespeare preacher, and I'm no R.G. Lee or George Truett or Charles Haddon Spurgeon. I know that. But years ago, I invited God into my den. And by the way, I decided to become transparent. And I invited God into my den. And let me tell you something. And I know, I mean this. I do not want to have anything in my heart that I couldn't say, Jesus, come and do this with me. I go home and lie down tonight to rest. I don't want to say about anybody in this world, I can't stand him. Boy, I hate that fella. And all of a sudden, if Jesus walked into my den, I'd have said, Jesus, let's talk about him. No, I don't want that. I want the envy all out of my heart. I don't want to live with criticism. I don't want to live with a heart that hates. I don't want to live with a heart that I'll get him. I can't stand him. I'd like to tell him off. I wish I had what he had. I don't want that kind of stuff. And by the way, it'll kill you. It'll kill you. And I said, one day, Jesus, come into my den. I hasten to say this, and time is going. I invited Jesus one day into my closet. My closet. What do you mean? I mean, I don't want to wear anything I wouldn't want to wear if I went out with Jesus somewhere. No, I wouldn't. Some of you girls ought to empty your closets of some of your things that you wouldn't wear if Jesus came. You couldn't wear with him. I invited Jesus into my closet. Come in, Jesus. Come in, Jesus. Come into my kitchen. Come in, Jesus. Come into my music room. Come in, Jesus. Feel at home with me. I want you to feed at home. I want you in the house that where Jack lives. I want you to come into every room and feed at home. I want you to hear the music and enjoy it. I want you to read the books and enjoy it. I want you to eat the food and enjoy it. I want you to play the games and enjoy them. I want you to see the clothes and not feel uneasy. I was in a certain home not long ago. Invited me in to eat a meal. I don't do this often, but I felt for some reason I ought to do it. And the lady met me at the door, her husband beside her, and she had on a miniskirt. And I felt so uneasy. So uneasy. And I walked in, there was a magazine, what was it? Cosmopolitan, by the way. I don't know, when I was a kid, Cosmopolitan was okay, but I saw that one. It ain't now, folks. It ain't now. It had an article advertising on the front page as to how a woman can enjoy sex life more. And I felt so uneasy. And if the boys came in, I guess they were boys. They looked like they had a beard starting on their chin. And the boys came in and sat down, and their hair was down to here. I didn't feel at home. I didn't feel at home. And the girls came in, they had on blue jeans. Looked like they were melted and poured in them and had too much to melt. And I didn't feel at home. I want Jesus to feel at home in the house here. He's preparing for me tonight a place where no tears shall ever go. He's preparing me a place tonight where nobody will ever get sick. He's preparing me a place tonight that has golden streets and gates of pearl. He's preparing me a place tonight where nobody ever dies. He's preparing me a place tonight where there's no cursing, nor profanity, nor swearing, nor dirty jokes. He's been 2,000 years preparing a place for me. Oh, think how he did in 7 days. In 7 days he painted the desert. In 7 days he made the beaches. In 7 days he caused the lakes of Minnesota to be like dewdrops to come and make 10,000 lakes in Minnesota. In 7 days he drew the mountains and put white caps on them. In 7 days he made the dandelion and the rose. In 7 days he made the gladiola and the tulip. In 7 days he made the meadow. In 7 days he made the grass. In 7 days he made the sunshine and the moon and the stars at night. In 7 days he made the hills of Missouri. In 7 days he made the deserts of Arizona. In 7 days he made the mountains of California. In 7 days he made the beaches of Florida. In 7 days he made the lakes of Minnesota. In 7 days he made the beauty of the Northland. In 7 days he made the snow. In 7 days he made the white caps. In 7 days he made the lakes and rivers and oceans. In 7 days, look what a wonderful thing he's done. I wonder how beautiful heaven must be. I've dreamed of a place called heaven, the home of the pure and the free, a haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. For 2,000 years, he's been preparing for me a home like that. And he says to me, I'm going to make you feel at home. I'm going to give you the best place you can imagine. I'm going to make you feel at home forever. I want to look up tonight and say, Jesus, I got a place for you too. I got a place for you. I want you to feel at home. When you come to the table, I want you to feel at home. When you go to read, I want you to feed at home. When the music's turned on, I want you to feed at home. I want you to feed at home when we play the games. I want you to feed at home the way I'm dressed. I want the atmosphere of the abode that I've made for you in my heart. I want you to feed at home all the time. Does he feed at home with you? But now, wait a minute. There came a very special day in my life. There was the day when I invited him into my den. There was a day when I invited him into my closet, my kitchen, my music room, my library. But I began to have a problem. When I'd get the library clean, the music room would get dirty. Do you have that problem? And so I'd work on a music room, get the music all straightened out, and then the den would get dirty. I'd work on the den, the closet would get dirty. I'd work on the closet, the kitchen would get dirty. And one day I came to Jesus and I said, "Jesus, do you feed at home?" And he said, "Most of the time." But he said, "All the house doesn't stay clean all the time." And I said, "Jesus, I try. I do try so hard. I want you as my guest. I want you to feed at home in my living room and my den and my library and my music room and my recreation room and my closet. I want you to feed at home, Jesus. I want you to feed at home. And I try to keep it clean. I try." Before I know it, while I'm cleaning one, another gets dirty. I said, "Lord, is there any other way I could keep this place clean so you'd feed at home?" And Jesus looked down and said, "Yes, Jack, there's another way. I appreciate all the efforts you've made. I do feel more at home than I used to." But he said, "Jack, there's another way." And I said, "Jesus, what is it?" And he said, "You could let me take over the management if you want to. And I'd keep it clean for you." And I said, "Jesus, would you do that? Would you do that? I want to keep the house clean, but I tell you, I just don't seem to be able to keep it clean." And I said, "Jesus, come on in." And I went down to the lawyer, and I got out of the strong safe deposit box. I got the deed. And I said, "Jesus, here's the deed to my house. No longer will you just be a guest here. I'll let you own it. I'll be your servant. You tell me what to do to the den. You tell me what to do to the music room and the library and the closet. You tell me what to do to the kitchen. But it's yours. I'll let you have it." And ask you a question. Is he a tenant or the landlord tonight? Where are you in the spiritual growth? Have you said, "Jesus, feed at home"? Does he feed at home? I can tell you how you can make him feel more at home than ever. Let him take over the management of it. And write a sign across your spiritual house, "Under new management." Let me ask you a question, I'll close. Is there anything in your life? Music? Literature? Books? Magazines? Television programs? Radio programs? Drink? Food? Anything in your life? You couldn't say, "Jesus, join me in doing it." Does he feed at home in your house? Does he? Does he? Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, this is a wonderful truth. A wonderful truth. I pray tonight you'd speak to the hearts of the dear people here. Dear Lord, do whatever cleaning in our lives is necessary. Clean up whatever room is dirty tonight. Every eye is closed and every head is bowed. That Christ may settle down and be at home in your hearts. That Christ may settle down and be at home in your hearts. That Christ may settle down and be at home. Oh, you say, "He lives." Yeah, I know he lives there. Is he at home? Does he feed at home? Let me ask you a question tonight. Is he at home in your music room? Is he at home in your library? Is he at home in your kitchen? Is he at home in your recreation room, part of your life? I'm not talking about where you play games at home, though that's included. I'm talking about, is he at home in the recreation room in your heart? Is he at home in your den? Is he at home in your closet? If Jesus came to your library, could you let him read anything on the shelf? He came and listened to radio with you, could you let him listen to anything you listen to? Could he watch any television program that you watch? Huh? If he came to your house, would you have to change clothes before you let him in? I wonder how many would say, "Brother Hiles, I know Jesus lives in me. I know I'm saved. I'm thinking of something right now that doesn't make him feel at home. I know he lives in me, but I'm thinking of some things I do now, or things in my heart that are there that don't make Jesus feel at home. Brother Hiles, I want Christ to settle down and be at home in my heart. And I'm thinking of some things right now, Brother Hiles, in my life, in my heart, that would not make Jesus feel at home. I don't mean if he lived there. He does live there. Some things that do not make him feel at home. Things that make him feel ill at ease right now. Right now. That's what's wrong with bad music. That's what's wrong with dirty literature. That's what's wrong with evil thoughts. That's what's wrong with a critical nature. Jesus lives in your heart. Does he feel at home? How many would say tonight, Brother Hiles, I'm thinking of something now that must make Jesus feel ill at ease and not as much at home as I want him to? Pray for me. Lift your hand, please, would you? All over the building. All over the building. What's there? What's in your spiritual house tonight? Keep it up. Who else will join us? Who else will join us? Heavenly Father, I pray tonight that we'll clean the house. Help us to have house cleaning. Somebody ought to clean up a music room tonight. Somebody ought to clean up a library tonight. Somebody ought to clean up the den tonight. Somebody ought to clean up the kitchen tonight. Somebody ought to clean up the closet tonight. Oh, dear God, many of us who've tried to be clean ought to look up and say, Jesus, is there anything else we could do? And hear you say, I'd take over if you'd let me. I'll manage it. Lord, help some people tonight to say, Jesus, I'm going to give you the deed to the house. I've tried to make you feel at home, but I believe you'd feel more at home, Jesus. I just deeded the house over to you. Put it under your management.